So I'm not saying that germs don't exist. Of course they exist. They are your best friends unless you create an environment that attracts an overabundance of them. Now, I'll give you the scientific basis of this also, if you'd like. Turn the page. You'll see over here, by the way, on page 13, a little reminder. It says the germ theory is based on the study of interim causes of illness. Circle the word interim. It's the short term. It's right up front. Rather than the source that initiates the illness. So we want to find out the real source of illness. And so if you'll notice down here, if you'll just turn the page, let's pop to the next page. It says traditional medicine has looked for a specific germ or microbe as the cause of disease. Germs, viruses, and the terrain, the level of toxicity found in the body, are all cofactors in the manifestation of disease. In other words, I'm not saying to you that these germs don't play a role in having you have dis-ease in the body. They do, but they can't do it on their own. You have to create an environment where they multiply in an imbalanced way, where your body now no longer has the strength to deal with it. Turn to page 80. Let's see where it is, 81, and I'll give you Koch's postulates, and those who are doctors in the room will tell you, in medical training, this man created basically the scientific basis for evaluating causation and disease. And Koch's postulates make it really clear why germs are not the cause of disease, and again, why Robbins and all these other people that are writing these textbooks now, the modern textbook, no longer say germs are the single cause of disease. Here's what he says. Number one, if a germ causes disease, then in any germ causes disease, definite, specific, and unique germs must, one, be found in every case of the disease. Are the germs that are supposed to cause a disease always found when the disease is present? Yes or no? So here's a question. Can you have an effect without a cause? No, that's why one scientific reason why germs are not the cause of disease. Two, they must never be found apart from the disease. Is that true? No, right now you have streptococcus germs inside of you. You have pneumocystis germs. AIDS, most AIDS patients in the early days were all basically, they had pneumonia. Pneumocystis was the basis of it. You have pneumocystis in you right now. Tons of it. But you don't have pneumonia. So how could that be? Because it's not the cause of disease. You can't have a situation where you have the cause and not have the effect. Just like you can't have the effect without the cause and say that they relate scientifically. They don't. Four, for germs to be the cause of disease, they must be capable of culture outside the body. Never has a culture been made with normal, healthy, living tissue. Medical theory declares that germs attack and destroy healthy tissue within the body. However, no germ has ever been known to multiply in normal tissues or normal secretions in the laboratory. Germs are seen in association with disease only in that they are feeding on decay. Until it can be demonstrated that germs have an affinity for normal, healthy tissue, the germ theory remains unsupportable. Specifically, when they grow germs in the laboratory, they do it in meat broth, in chicken broth, in all kinds of rotten eggs. They use substances that are of decay. If your body is healthy, it is not decaying inside. Because the only way to get germs to grow is to give them something that gives them life, which is decay. Germs are designed to take decay, break it down, because if it wasn't for germs, we'd all be this high in waste on the planet Earth. They're what break it down for us. So they're not the cause. And lastly, if germs cause disease, then it must be capable of producing by injection the same disease that's undergone by the body from which they were taken. So in other words, if I take out this cause out of your body that's creating pneumonia in you, and we put it in me, then it should create pneumonia in me. Is that how it works? Yes or no? No. Now, how can you say that's the cause and only works in you and doesn't work in me? Step into my common sense corner, and let's think for a moment. When is the flu season? That's right. It's right around January 1. In fact, you can chart it year by year. It's within the first week, the last week of December, first week of January, like clockwork, decade after decade. So it obviously is a bug that likes the winter and probably sleeps in the summer. Okay? Now, we are taught that this is created by a whole variety of strains of these bugs that come after us. And what's really interesting about this is these bugs always come at us only at this time of year. They attack viciously, and they affect us. Now, what are the symptoms of the flu? Fever, diarrhea, sweats, fatigue, lymph nodes enlarging. What do your lymph nodes do? They strain the toxicity from your body. And if I overuse a muscle, what does it do? If I demand more from a muscle, it gets what? Bigger, it swells up, right? So this is the basic fundamentals of what the flu is.